Hello, everyone. Welcome on back to the X-Wing segment of the Wide World of Wargaming. As always, I am your host, Vincent Borgato. Joining me, as per the usual, Mr. Jeff Wilder.
You are in command now, Admiral Piet.
And Mr. Drew Bishop.
Thank you, sir.
We have two events to talk about. Number one, the semi-unique Paris System Open. And we will describe what made it unique. And then the Misty Mountain Hyperspace Trial out of Wisconsin. And then we'll be getting into a little bit of the stuff coming out of Gen Con. It's a lot of outline and not a lot of meat, but just a few, but there is enough there to start the hype train rolling. But let's dive right in, folks. We are talking about Wisconsin, as we said, Misty Mountain Hop being one of my favorite Led Zeppelin songs. Mr. Tim Ousler coming in first with 5 Omega Squadron experts with Fanatical and Advanced Optics. So basically, if he focuses, he gets 2 damage. Is the way he's unshielded, he gets 2 automatic damage. Do I have that right?
Well, if you don't spend it on defense, and I mean rolling 2 agility, right? There's a pretty good chance that you're not going to be spending that focus, right?
If you want to just eat the hit, if you know you're going to lose all your shields, you might as well just eat the hit and try to give the damage back.
Right, and that's the thing about these ships too, is that they can take the damage, right? Like, it's very hard to kill one of these with an alpha strike. You know, you get with the aces, you got to roll really, really well, right? You have to be in a good position, but I mean, these 5 just roll up to the club and burn something down.
Three ship alpha strike can kill one, but then you're taking 4 shots in return, of course.
Right, right.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't love the... Frankly, I've never been a huge fan of the TIE SF. I understand that the link to white action is fantastic, 100%, and that it's got a pretty decent dial. But without the Special Forces Gunner, I feel like it so doesn't punch hard enough for being a 40-point ship.
Oh, that's right. They don't have the gun. Yeah, no, I would agree with that. I came in here thinking, oh, 3 die attack ships, right? Like, pretty good, but
no, this is what, even before Fanatical, this is probably somewhere in the vicinity of 1.75, 1.8 damage per shot.
It is very close.
That's not all that far off from the 2.25 that a focused X-Wing can do, right? And you've got 5 of them as opposed to 4 X-Wings. It's pretty good. You guys can guess the problem that I would have with it, which is, you know, not really a fair problem, but...
why aren't they 6 points... why aren't they 6 points cheaper and odd health? That's just a problem with them.
One or the other of those, you know? It's like... But you know, the comparison is to an X-wing, 40 points versus 41 points. You've got the extra shield, the better dial, the more reliable damage is what it comes down to. And once Fanatical is active, it's even more so. You know,
right? You get to keep that focus. For defense.
Yeah. I think it's I'd like to see how he flew it. I doubt that he's... I mean, there's no reason to fly him in a block, for sure.
No. This one, it seems like you kind of want to... I would almost say spread him out, like, in pairs and then one in the middle just to block from getting flanked.
Yeah. But on the other hand, you don't want to get pounced on either. That's... So,
well, no, the guy in the middle sits back. Yeah. You lay back with the one in the center, and he just kind of pushes the action.
Yeah. Yeah, I hope there are a few games that were streamed and will show up on YouTube on this one.
I didn't hear about anybody streaming this one, but we can't, you know, it is always possible to look around. Coming in second place, Mr. Francois Marais with Night Beast, Soon to Your Fell Outmaneuver. Oh, God. Scimitar Squad with Barrage and Afterburner Vader.
Night Beast. Wow.
Yeah, there's a name you don't see very often.
I mean, it's evade focus every turn, right?
Yeah, as long as you're willing to do the blue.
I mean, with this list, Night Beast is kind of like, hey, come at me. Yeah. Right? Like, Night Beast is like, I'm gonna fly straight at you. You know, what are you going to do? The barrage rocket bomber comes from another position. And then Vader and Soontir, right? Like, it's all the aces with a double action ship.
That's what I was going to say. Night Beast is a really good blocker because all he has to do is complete that low initiative maneuver, get his focus, and then he can still barrel roll to try to cut somebody off. So he's defended and he's blocked.
He's basically giving up the other Scimitar and Barrage Rockets in favor of outmaneuver on Soontir and a bid, right? A better bid.
I can look that up while we continue talking.
I think that's what's going on there. Because I'm just... focused Night Beast is going to have about the same durability as a focused Scimitar Squadron pilot, so...
Right, but the Scimitar needs it to get the bomb. They need it to get barrage rockets on.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
I like Night Beast, honestly. I mean, I don't remember exactly what he costs, but as long as he's reasonably priced, and you know, you kind of want your if you want your blocker to maybe have some end game extra efficiency, it's not a bad bargain.
No, I mean it's 26 points, I think. Something like that.
Night Beast is 26, yeah. It's got a 5-point bid.
That 5-point bid's pretty good for a 4-ship Vader Fell.
Yeah, it gives you... I always say that, like, you don't need the bid for the advantage, right? Like, you know, if you know what you're doing, you don't need the bid with aces. But I'll be honest with you, man, having the bid really... It really does help. Like, it just takes the strain off of you.
Of course. It's a crutch. We talked about that.
I don't know about that, but I do. But yeah, no, I mean, hey, right? Like, I think Empire is good enough and cheap enough, unfortunately, you know, that you can have the bid still and be told, like, you know, pretty much fine, right? Like, there's no.
Well, he did run Vader without the upgrade. You guys were both, you know, howling over Rick not using fire control.
I rescind my words. I am not an experienced enough player to do well enough with Vader without FCS, but I do feel like under the right circumstances, and if someone was, you know, if I was a better player, I wouldn't use FCS, but I was certainly feeling it at the hyperspace trial I went to. I wish I had it.
I just think FCS is it's basically a way to often save a force point, and I just... Mm-hmm. That's just that seems like a good enough reason to use it to me.
Against swarms too, I think it really pushes Vader over the edge because Vader needs to be able to kill something fast and then keep going, right? Especially in these. Oh my God, we haven't even talked about the tournament rules. Oh my God, can we talk about that too?
Oh, the floor rules.
The floor rules, please.
We'll see.
It's so good.
We'll see.
They're amazing. Okay.
A whole night too.
Okay. But either way, yeah, so I think that with the floor rules coming in, you know, there may be things that we, you know, we may not see that many swarms flown competitively. And if we do, they're going to be by people who know what they're doing, which I'm excited for.
Did you guys notice in the top eight, there are only two lists with fewer than 4 ships?
Yeah.
Look at all those swarms and mini swarms, man.
It's bodies, and bodies mean dice.
Yeah.
I do think we should shout out Cole Adams for coming in with a hybrid. What are they calling it? The Vorpal Blade, which is that name still bothers me. With a double Black Sun crack shot, and then Fett.
Mm-hmm.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I like the use of informant there to give the Black Suns.
I think stealth, or not stealth, I think Sense Vader becoming a thing is starting to make people think that they need to have their own version of it. And you're going to start seeing more informants just as a counter to it.
It's good. I mean, it got me to the top cut at Worlds 1 year. I mean, it's strong, but you have to, like, again, right, running it, you have to be able to play with it, right? Like, your list kind of has to be built around it. But it also puts a target on your back because you have to be close to the action in order to use it, right?
Well, it's Boba Fett. He wants to be close to the action.
Yeah, I was going to say that's, you know, there. Ah, there we go.
And also, hilariously, it's Fett with Slave One, which is kind of awesome. I mean, it's like, yeah, I'm really worried about not this guy not being where I expect him to be. Informant, okay, he's not where I expected him to be. Hold up, let me reverse my maneuver.
Or switch it. Yeah, no, it's I'll be honest with you, man. Some of the funnest times I've had with Fett was with the Slave One title. And while I do feel like perhaps there are stronger titles for the Fire Spray, this one, I mean, he's don't disregard it. It's pretty good.
No, I think Slave One's probably the best right now.
I think Slave One is certainly the best for 2 points, the best value.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, especially with how cheap it is.
You have to build a lot more towards Marauder than you ever have to do Slave One.
Right, because the Marauder has the additional tax of you are not only paying for the Marauder, but you're also paying for the Gunner.
Yep. The gentleman who came in second at our event, his list makes a more than annoying reappearance. Watt Tambor, Kraken Impervium, Grievous Impervium, and 5 trade drones.
Yeah, again, I'd love to talk about this when we discuss the floor rules. But I mean, hey, if you're fast with it, I mean, it is a strong list. You got all those blockers, right? Like,
yeah.
You know, I have never seen a ship with a blue hard to turn that I wasn't actually that excited to fly before. but I mean, when you've got a lot of them, you know. Hey, man, it adds up. It really does, right?
Yep. Another TIE Swarm, one of the innumerable TIE Swarms coming in fourth place. The best way to make a cut and not actually win anything. Nicholas Tobin coming in with Rick Kenobi. And oh, my God, he got 7B on both of them.
Yeah.
Okay, this is – I just want to say this. I think Rick at 42 might be the best deal in Republic. Just for the number of dice you can get out of him and still not really put a limit on the other ships you're flying, like a Sense 7B Kenobi and a 7B Anakin.
Yeah, I mean, and just to push it a little bit further, I think Rick with R4 is the best 44 points. That's remarkable value.
Yeah, and it does make him an it does make that that chassis an extremely good knife fighter.
I mean, it's the same price as HAL Runner with Swarm Tactics, by the way.
Yeah.
Not that HAL Runner isn't awesome as a force multiplier, but HAL Runner is also one TIE fighter, a three hit point ship with, you know, with all that that implies, and mm-hmm. Rick is just that's a really really. Aggressively priced ship, and it's funny because he's so aggressively priced, and then Padme and the Naboo are so conservatively priced. It's interesting.
What did I say? I told you, FFG does not know how to price dice edition effects.
Yeah,
or it's a starting point, right? Like, I mean, I'm positive that at least for multiple ships, you know. They had an idea behind why they wanted to price it that way, but they're like, maybe we'll do it a little bit lower, right, to see how it pans out. And then, you know, later on, I know that that's not the best way to do it, but I'm trying to just think of ways, like, why they priced it the way they did.
Well, there is an argument to be made that if Rick is aggressively priced, he's not going to be an NPE for anybody. Whereas if Padme, they clearly thought Padme was much stronger than Padme is, and the Naboo Handmaiden, if anybody actually figures it out, is going to be very, very strong. And those could be seriously like not pleasant to play against because I mean
this from the same guy who said Padme isn't even that strong.
No, I don't think Padme is, but
I don't think so either.
Right, so it's highly unlikely that she's ever going to be and if she's not that good, you could price her at 5 points. She's still not an MP8.
Okay, so listen to me, Vince, and try to think with your abstract brain. I'm saying
I don't think I have one of those.
FFG thinks that Padme is very powerful. Therefore, FFG in pricing the ships may have thought we don't want to create an NPE with Padme or with the Handmaiden so let's price them conservatively. Rick, even priced aggressively, isn't going to be an NPE. He's going to be a ship that can that can dive in and out of combat and do his work and everything, but still get blocked and still be killed, right? So I'm just saying that this is possibly a reason that FFG priced them the way they did.
He's in a very similar position to what's his name? Lulo for Resistance when Resistance first came out, right, with the A-wing dropped, where it was almost like, you know, every Republic squad is running him, and while every Republic squad isn't running Rick Ollier, most squads have him in it in some way, shape, or form, right? Which I think kind of attests to the fact that he is so cheap for the value that you get out of him.
Right.
Right. Also, people just don't. A lot of people probably still don't know how to play against him.
That too.
I expect that a ship that is as maneuver limited, it's a good dial, but it is a very high speed dial. People will eventually kind of start learning how to predict Rick, and then he will become less effective.
I mean, that's absolutely for sure. The times that I've played against him, people have done just the weirdest stuff to try to be unpredictable, like moving at a speed one or two. And I'm just like, thank you for laying that out on the plate. I appreciate that very much. You know, at least if you were predictable, you'd have an extra agility and an extra evade.
Right. And it also, and that's the other thing too, is that, you know, that ship, when I was flying him, yeah, it's kind of tough to you know, keep his ability active, right? But the times when you do have it, I mean, I know as you laugh at me, Vince, but it, you know, it's true though, right? Like, you can't always go fast, but even so, doing that, like, man, you, I mean, I don't know. Should I just paint it blue with red shoes?
I mean, or you could paint it,
go fast,
or you paint it red, because do I need to finish that line for you?
This is also true. Right. No, I mean, blue or why not both? Both.
just paint it red with a wing teardrop on it. You'll be fine. Anything else out of this? I mean, I do want to point out that I was 100% right, and that the TIE Swarm is really freaking easy to play when there's no Rebel Beef to counter it.
Look at what's missing from this, by the way. You see a Sinker Swarm anywhere?
No.
There's one. 22, number 22.
There's still some brave soul trying to play, the Y-ons.
Yeah.
KJ. Yeah. I respect it, bro, but it ain't happening anymore. Somebody did try to bring in the Steve Gonzalez special with Chewie, BB-8, Rose, Vi, and Finn.
Mm-hmm.
Look at all these. These are all 4 and 5 ship lists. Until you start getting down to the bottom half, and that's where all the 2s and 3s are.
Yep.
Oh, one guy did try to bring extra Belbalobs, and that did not go his way.
it just amazes me. There are actually quite a few Sinker Swarms in here that just did not do well.
I don't want to say anything about net listing.
It's more appropriate. I mean, that term is more appropriate in this game. It really kind of. I like it only because it really does highlight, if you're going to run something, you got to know how to fly it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You have to have reps with it. You got to know how it works, because if you come in blind, right? I mean, I'll be honest with you. I had a few games to test for the hyperspace, but I basically went in blind, you know, and I feel like I barely made the cut. And that was mostly off of, you know, what I remember from 1.0, because I haven't really got a chance to play a whole lot in 2.0. But I think that this really emphasizes the fact that, you know what you're doing before you come to a tournament.
Yeah.
Know your list before you come to a tournament.
So many 3-ship Rick Ollies out here, by the way.
Yep.
If you get down to the bottom, it's 104th Anakin Rick, 104th Anakin Rick, Rick Kenobi Wolf. Just a lot of people playing stuff that they heard other people were good with. I don't really have another way to say it. All right. Let's go ahead and move on to the Paris System Open. We mentioned earlier that this event was going to have a little bit of a unique meta because they did not allow any of the Wave 4. But they did use the updated points. So this will be kind of a one-off as far as how much we can analyze the results. Your winner, Vader Vinder Jenden, and that is the Hatchet Man, making a triumphant return to the championship. Lucas Bolak, my hero for the moment. Heftober, Benthic, and two Blue Squadron Scouts with Selfless, Perceptive, Chopper, Jilea, and Jin. I mean, I feel bad that he ran into probably the only list he faced all weekend that could delete one of his ships per turn, and I think that's probably why he lost.
Yeah, that is a remarkable number of upgrades to see on four U-wings.
Yeah, I mean it's only about 170 in ship. There's 30 points there, easy.
Yeah, I mean that's the amazing thing, and it's 32 hit points behind two agility and
two agility pivoting, three attack die. You know, white pivot actions, right?
Yeah.
With damage spread.
Passing with Benthic.
Like, yep.
Benthic. Oh, I'm sorry. We left out my favorite upgrade in the game. Tactical Scrambler. He ran the Tac Scrambler.
Dude, it's a good upgrade, man. We saw it go to Worlds with, like, what, six of them were running it on Manaru. I cannot emphasize it enough for the ships that need that extra die. It can really, really help, especially if it's on, what is it? Selfless is on Heth. I mean, Heth has an ability, obviously, but if you were able to put it on one of the Blue Squadrons, like, dude, that's.
Yeah, I'd probably put it on Heth, but.
No, you would in this list because Heth has nothing else on him, right?
Like he is just there.
Yep, he's just there to soak the damage from the others because you want to kill Leia first, right? You definitely want to get Benthic with the Perceptive, and then Jin with the Tac Scrambler is really interesting as well.
But why, if he's there to soak, why do you want him to? Okay, I guess I don't know.
Well, it's just the fact that, you know, you have, I mean, he has got the least upgrades on him, right? So he's technically the cheapest out of all of them.
No, that Blue Squad with Tac Scrambler is still cheaper.
Yeah.
All right. I think
I would probably switch Selfless and Leia Organa on the two U-Wings. But, you know, I haven't thought it through really strongly, but it just seems like Heth wants to be, I don't know. It's interesting. I might shuffle things around a little bit there, but I like the Benthic with Perceptive and Chopper so that he can always get his two focus.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Even if he's strapped.
Yeah, Benthic with Perceptive is one of my favorite. Put it in your list and then realize that it's overpriced for what it does. Synergies in the game, because 55 is just, it seems so cheap until you put it in a list with the people you really want to give those focuses to, and then you just start removing teeth because it's more decisions than you want to make. Steven Gage coming out with the five resistance A-wings using all of his double talent slots. Talissa with Heroic and Crack and Advanced Optics. Green Squadron Expert with Heroic and Advanced Optics. Zari with Heroic and Crack and Advanced Optics. And then two Blue Squad Recruits with Heroic and Advanced Optics.
Yep. It's a good list.
Yeah. It's so soft but so punchy.
Right. It's like a glass cannon. Very glass cannon list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, probably doesn't hit hard enough to quite be considered. Well, you know what? I take it back. So this is kind of interesting. I'm just thinking about Heroic versus Fanatical. They almost serve – I think in this case they almost come out to an identical result. Because if you double blank with Fanatic and advanced optics,
yeah,
you get one. If you blake out with heroic,
you re-roll. And
you get the full reroll, meaning you've got pretty good odds of coming out to two damage. So for 2 points cheaper, I mean, in this case, heroic is way better than fanatical.
Just keep in mind that on attack rolls, heroic's only going to trigger 1 in 16 times. So, heroic for offense is not going to trigger very often.
Okay. I mean, having it in lieu of Predator is probably pretty good.
Yes and no. I feel like that's what makes the game decent at the moment, is like there is no right or wrong right answer to this question.
Well, I doubt very seriously that Predator would fit if he wants those crack shots in there. So, and the advanced optics, because Predator, of course, is a point higher than heroic. So,
right.
I mean, I haven't added it up, but my guess is that's 200 points.
So, with that many advanced optics, I'd be shocked if he had more than 1 or 2 points floating. Yeah. Two gentlemen after my own heart coming in trying to make Core and Horn work. I think it's supposed to be Matthew Barbo. Should be. We salute him for running Super Natty Luke with Torps and Corrin with Crackshot and Torps. This is, Jeff and I were talking about this before the show. This is just delete one thing, move on to the next. That's all this is.
For what it's worth, by the way, that is the French spelling for Matthew.
Okay, so I was right. All right. I wasn't sure if maybe it was like Matthias or something like that. I don't know. But yeah, the more reasonable Corrin becomes, the more you are going to see him. Just sadly, just for initiative in the beginning, but then once people start, you know, really going for double primaries, which I think is probably better than Proton into a primary, just because it's a lot cheaper, and you might be able to fit more. I would love to see more Corrin Horn on the board, mostly played by me.
I suspect that the idea here is the protons are – we saw this phenomenon in late 1E where it got to the point where you weren't taking an additional ship, because taking that additional ship was literally just feeding your opponent points. So, like,
right.
he could probably trim – I mean, he could probably trim 30 points and get another ship out of here, even if it's only a Phoenix squadron or whatever. But at that point, he's just feeding his opponent points as opposed to trying to outfly them with his two super fives, you know?
I mean, I don't know. I think probably if you pulled the protons and a couple other things, you could fit AP5, and that would be just as useful.
He would – the AP5, I mean – you're feeding them points.
AP5 is better than that. Especially like if you were coordinating. Yeah, I'll put it this way. Coordinating Luke off of a Talon roll or Corrin off of a sloop before they get a chance to move next turn is probably just as good as Supernatural. Except saving you a force.
I just disagree. I mean, I think we're seeing. The thing about AP5 is AP5 is a great ship, but AP5 needs ships that are going to take some heat off AP5, or AP5 just dies.
Yep.
If you just hang AP5 out there to help them out one or maybe two turns with coordinates, you're better off taking the Supernatural and putting the protons on both of them and just trying to outfly the other guy.
Well, I'm in no place to question this guy's tactics, but I think probably – I'm not going to say he would have won if he had AP5. I don't know what his matchup looked like, but the one problem the E-Wings have is that if you do run them with afterburners and they run out of those charges, you become a one-action chip again.
Yeah. I mean,
right, and well, that's the... In the experience that I had with AP5, it was very one-sided. Like, the ship he was giving the extra actions to were Wedge in this case, and it didn't really do... It was just kind of sad. Even with the support damage that he would that AP5 would pump out, it just wasn't worth it. At least from my experience, it didn't seem like the extra coordinate on that one ship was better. It was almost like, why not just take a U-wing, right? That has more damage output and can do the same thing.
Well, because it can't do the same thing. Like, one of the best things about AP5 is that if you stress one of your bigger ships, the first guy who moves is your pilot, is your initiative one coordinate through the stress token.
I mean, I guess, but like, who, like, again, I feel like with AP5 and any sort of list that has coordination, right, you have to have a job, right? Like, you're there to do that one thing and you have to do it well. And while I don't think that AP5, you know, doesn't do his job well, I just feel like what the Rebels have as far as firepower, to give that extra action economy even through the stress, I don't see it.
Yeah, fair enough.
At least right now.
Any other lists out of this jumping out to anybody? Anything we might not see again? Torkoal Mux making his triumphant return. Torkoal, Unkar Plutt, Leet, Inaldra, and Captain Seavor. There's something you don't see every day.
That's an amazing list.
And you made top. You made fun. Top 8 at a system open with it too.
Yeah, that is congrats. That is a good one. There's a Cartel Executioner, Zuckuss, Seavor. He's everywhere. Soul Sixa list down there as well. So some.
I don't even know what Soul Sixa does.
Soul Sixa is the one that can drop bombs with the
hard one.
The hard one. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And skill Bombardier means that it's also the hard two, right?
Yes.
Yes, that was correct.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. So that's pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, it would be cool to combine that with Emon.
We've got
Drew's favorite 1.0 list coming in 26th place.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. What is it? Is it the triple aces?
Whisper Rack.
Maybe.
Whisper Rack. I mean, it's not my favorite. Like, it was a glaring problem, and I am not of the stance that I used to take when flying that list, which was I want to prove the problem to FFG. Because for many, many years, they were like, yes, you know, you can, it's not that good. And it just continued to dominate. And then, of course, they made things to be better than it, which in turn brought the entire game down. But either way, no, I mean, seeing it again is nostalgic, at least in that sense. But does it have any teeth? I mean,
well, it's probably got some teeth.
Yeah, it's definitely good. I don't know if it's like amazingly good, but I'll put it on the table.
Did you see the FO Swarm fence?
Yes, I did. Malaris, Scorch, Longshot, Muse, Revos, and an Epsilon Cadet. Yeah. I did see it. It's definitely not as good as the regular TIE Swarm.
The thing about it is it isn't as powerful as the regular TIE Swarm. I mean, it's clearly more powerful than a TIE Swarm in my hands, but it isn't as powerful as a regular TIE Swarm, but it's a lot more flexible than a regular TIE Swarm.
Also, it also probably has an equivalent joust between Scorch and Longshot. You're picking up that those extra dice.
It's not equivalent because the TIE Swarm, the Imperial TIE Swarm, has extra dice as well, and it's got Howlrunner rerolls. So
how does the other one have extra dice?
Hask.
That's only if Wampa. You hit something.
No, Gideon rolls an extra
against dice. Damage. Against damage.
If you have a damage
right.
By the time Gideon shoots with a regular dice worm, then you're going to go 0-2 and drop
I mean, not necessarily.
You're not talking about yourself, right?
Yeah, I'm talking about myself.
Yes, that's true. Normally, against most of the things the TIE Swarm faces, which are two evade or two agility ships, not against something that's shooting, you know, that's got six and a shield.
Yeah, I mean, it's also got Iden. I would not, if I were flying this list, and I like it, I would not joust a Tie Swarm. I would probably divide this list into three elements of two, something like Scorch and Muse and Malarus and, I don't know, maybe the Epsilons. I don't know exactly. And make them choose, right? Make that Tie Swarm pick. And because that's your, it's the flexibility is what this has over the regular Tie Swarm, in my opinion.
Yeah, because it doesn't have to stay together. Although if you did stick Malarus and Longshot together, I mean, there's your, you're putting five dice with a shitload of mods, you know, yeah, into whichever, you could just go for Wampa, frankly. Because he'd be, Wampa's normally shooting at a four, right?
Normally a five.
Okay. It would be five, yeah, with Swarm Tactics.
The old way, I don't know about now. You can only fit one Swarm Tactics now, or two? Is it two?
You can fit two. You just, it went from 199 points to 200.
I see. Okay.
To 200, yeah.
Well, yeah, but if they swarm Wampa, they're not, you know, it's not any of the other three that actually might hurt you, so.
Right. Right.
I mean, in that case, it would be a very interesting tit for tat when it comes to deciding who's shooting at who. I love that list. I think you could beat another Tie Swarm with it, even if you just flew straight up.
We should do it. We should put it on the table sometime and just do a couple of jousts against each other and see, because I'm curious.
Oh, it'd be interesting.
That's my favorite thing to do in X-Wing is to just like, yeah, just theory craft, right? You play it and you engage. Did you engage well, exactly, right? Okay, we play. We play it out, right? If we don't, if one of us engages wrong or the dice variance, we start over, right?
Yep. Range control on the engage is just so important. People should be, I mean, I don't want to put too exact a number on it, but if people are practicing range control on the engage three times as much as the rest of the game, then that's somewhere in the right vicinity. I think number three is my favorite Republic list.
Right, Obi now. Mace and double golds.
Yeah, Obi Mace with sense and double golds. Yeah, I think that's my favorite Republic list right now. I still, just because I love Ark so much, I still want to put an Ark in instead of the two golds. But it's just too hard to argue with it at this point. It's just too much flexibility with two dials and two ships that can
and two evades matters.
Right. And can evade, right? Like, I think that's a big one too with the two green. Like, I mean, it doesn't add a third one anymore, but
the ability to block, the not as bad as we all thought dial, and the linked rope. I mean, it's pretty mid lane. I'm gonna go with Drew. If it was that bad, we wouldn't be seeing it this much.
I mean, it's cheap, right? I mean, I think you'd see it if it was even worse. But only because, and it's only because, as Jeff was saying, like, it's another ship, right? It's another thing you gotta burn down, and turns out the dial isn't that bad when it's getting free range one shots because you're trying to kill other things. Because
you're trying to kill his buddy. Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, before I forget, by the way, I just want to give a shout out to Green Dragoon, who I believe put in a bunch of these lists, which there aren't, as you can look if you scroll down, it's definitely not complete. But he did put in a bunch of these lists at a great deal of personal effort. So thanks a lot, Green Dragoon. Appreciate that.
Also a friend of the program.
I was going to say, I mean, it's true. Without anyone putting in this information, we don't really have things to talk about. So thank you, guys, really.
I mean, between the three of us, we could probably find things to talk about. I don't think we'd have any problems.
There would just be a lot more yelling. But all right, let's go ahead and move away from Paris and over to, I hope I have this right, Indianapolis?
Correct.
Okay, good. I wanted to see. A few treats coming out, a couple of things that we expected, a couple of things that are, well, one thing that's ugly as hell, frankly. What are you guys most excited about that's not card packs? And then on the issue of card packs,
what?
Who's the pilot you want back the most?
Hey, you take that back about the Nashta pup.
I'm sorry, but
that ship has the best. That ship has the goodest boy name.
Who do you think is the
the fireball one? Is what? Hideous.
Oh, I disagree.
Vince, if you watch the Resistance, that's Jeff. The point of the ship. Although it does look, Jeff, I like it a lot. Clarify. I like the ship a lot.
You think the fireball looks good and the Naboo is ugly?
Correct. I think the fireball looks good and the Naboo looks like a stupid, no function, non Star Wars ship. Ugly.
Jeff is angry about the Naboo Starfighter because it's not the W wing.
I don't even know what to say to that. This thing is,
or the M wing, right?
So,
right. I'll see myself.
The reason that I like the look of the fireball, and by the way, I hate the show The Resistance. I tried to watch it. It's so horrible. I just can't even.
First seasons are always the worst.
Battlestar Galactica disagrees with you.
Hey. 33 times it does.
Jeff, would you like a drink of water? Can I salute you with a glass of water?
I like the fireball a lot because it reminds me Star Wars does a lot of World War II aesthetics and the way its ships move and things like that. Fireball is like, oddly, it's very early World War I aesthetic. Not a lot of people know this, but in early World War I, the planes that were used to fight were monowing planes. And the fireball were
whoa out of that.
And I just like, I think it looks super fast. I mean, it's like,
you know, super, super off topic, Jeff, but building on that, I just watched a video, or sorry, some pages that someone shared in like a Star Wars fan page, and it went through all of the A New Hope like weapons and how they were made to look in the movies. Yeah. And pretty much every gun that you see or like blaster in the film was made from a World War One or World War Two gun that was like heavily modified to make it look more futuristic. You mean how the- That was also one of the reasons why they looked so good. Stormtrooper
blaster is 100% NFG 42.
Yep. And how they sawed off the end of, I don't even remember what weapon it was, to make like the bowcaster and like all these other cool things. And the lightsaber was the camera side thing, right? Like, it was just so cool. I was looking at it, I was like, shit, man, if I could find some of that stuff, I would love to like, you know, jerry rig and make my own.
The Black Tech 44 is basically a Luger on steroids.
And then, right? And then you've got
right.
You've got Han's pistol, which is 100% a Mauser.
Isn't that the Black Tech 44?
Well, then it's not a Luger. Not with that grip. Not with the bottom. Not with the clip on the square clip on the front of it.
The Luger doesn't have that.
You're thinking of the Mauser. Okay. But I'm we're not doing this. Why can't we have?
We are doing this because, man, I was gonna make fun of you, and I was gonna bring us back to X-Wing.
Why couldn't we? I'm just looking at some of the other ships from Resistance. You've got Tora Doza's this blue and orange, gorgeous, sleek double engine. It looks like a Jaguar in space.
Dude, it's a floating taxi Jaguar. Cab.
And then you've got Bo Keeble, who's got, you know, a Delta Wing on the front of his ship with the weirdest tail I've ever seen. These are cool. The fireball is just, it just looks like it's just a big nose.
It's a souped up Z95.
Not even.
It's a souped up Z95.
Z95 is moderate.
It's a souped up Z95 with bent wings.
It's an ugly, not as cool looking Corsair.
You just don't like it because it's going to be better than the E-Wing ever will be.
No, I don't like it because it's freaking ugly. You know what it looks like? It looks like back in the 40s. You know what this is? I know what this is. The Fireball is that old, never built Japanese jet.
It does.
That's what this is, with the big plane at the back.
Yeah, it does have as Jeff brought it up. It does have that sort of like World War II vibe with it, which I do kind of really like, as far as the aesthetic is concerned.
I actually mentioned World War One, but it's also, doesn't the chassis have an ability called something
explosion
like
on wings, wings
or something like that?
Oh my god,
it's a piece of crap in the show. It blows up more than it should.
Like, there are so many cool ships from this show. I'm just looking at pictures online, and they pick that piece of shit.
Dude, they'll get to them. I mean, it's not like X-Wing's ending.
No, I know, but like, it just seems like the worst possible choice.
I like it. So screw you, hippie.
Yeah, I'm the hippie.
Do you guys?
And then we've got the the name of the oh my god, I should know this. The interceptor.
The interceptor. I have no idea.
I should know it. I don't know it.
I have no idea. I really should have.
Oh,
I think it looks amazing, really though. Cool. It looks chunkier than an interceptor, which I like, and it just looks more dangerous than an interceptor.
Well, it looks like it can take really two more hits than an interceptor too.
It does. Looks like it's got shields.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Probably a little slower.
Well, I don't know about that, because it said in the description that FFG put out with it, they said that it was really going to be punishing for ships in its bullseye. I don't know if that means that it'll still be fast, because usually ships have to be maneuverable in order to get that bullseye to work. But I'm wondering if we'll have, a contender to Soontir or maybe another ace that will finally be able to compete with Vader and Fel.
Well, this one's supposed to be First Order, isn't it?
It is. No, but that's what I mean.
First Order, yeah.
We have a faction that has aces that are on par with the other two. But at the same time, do you guys want to see...
Not unless they're giving them a... No, go ahead.
No, do you guys want to see, another Imperial, double six or double five, faction come into play? I mean, we're already kind of seeing that with Republic, and... I don't know, are you guys excited about that, or...?
Oddly enough...
I mean...
Go ahead, Jeff.
It just depends on how they price it, right?
Right.
If they... We're before these are out, we're gonna have at least one more price change. I'm curious as to how it's gonna be priced in comparison to the silencer.
Yep.
Right, because it seems like this is the one guy is I-6. It seems like this is going to be much closer in stats just from the appearance. I don't have any idea honestly, but. From the appearance, it looks like it's going to be much closer in stat line to the silencer or the defender than it is to the TIE interceptor. I doubt very seriously this thing's going to have only three or even four.
I would agree with that. To me, it leans defender.
So, that's silencer pricing, right? Especially for an I-6, that's got to be. Silencer.
And then, so we have this other issue too. So, are we going to see? Like what's happening with Scum right now with all of these lower priced ships, like the M3, the Z95, the TIE, the modified TIE, sorry. Because with the Last Jedi, we're probably going to get Kylo's new interceptor silencer thing. So we will finally have a faction that literally has three different types of interceptor ships, which is cool, I guess. I don't know. Is it too much of a good thing? Kind of seems like it.
I don't know if... I would be surprised if they released a third interceptor for one faction. Really surprised. I for some reason... Because the two they already have are... What, the silencer and the Special Forces interceptor, right? Are the two, basically, is what we're talking about?
No, I'm talking about the silencer and then this new guy that we've got, right? The red interceptor, the red foe interceptor. And then if you watch the trailer again for episode 9, Kylo's ship is it looks like an interceptor with that, it looks like a better version of this that we're seeing now. That's coming out soon.
I doubt how to say this correctly. Things in a trailer are not necessarily things that will be appearing in a movie.
I completely agree. But at the same time,
for all we know, that was just a blur, and it actually is still just a silencer.
Or it could just be this
right ship. In a new paint scheme.
Yeah, that's possible.
Okay. Yeah, but I'm a little nervous about looking at the same stuff coming out for factions. It's kind of like,
Well, just
I think that the overlapping of points and role in the game can get really wonky. It's not necessarily
bad. Right.
It's just that you end up with ship archetypes that are basically the same. It's just that you can build them with four different combinations of three ships, you know, things like
right,
that.
Right.
So I worry about it a little bit, but you know, it's way too early to panic.
Right. Like we have to consider there's probably two waves in the pipe that we haven't seen yet. Plus the fact that the movie's not out to December, meaning they probably aren't even going to consider putting this on in plastic until this hypothetical third interceptor in plastic until what, 2021?
I mean, it took two years to cover before they get to that.
How long did it take them to put the Naboo in the game?
It took them 2 years for the First Order to get their last release. So I'm right there with you, buddy.
I'm not at all worried about this. I think we have a lot of other things that are worth spending brain power on.
I was just expressing my, oh, we got the same ship, but it looks a little different. Yay. Like, great. I don't know. I'm not excited, but I'm sure it'll, you know, the First Order.
It looks like it's got
the First Order is already.
It looks like it's got the wings of an interceptor and an aggressor combined, doesn't it?
No, the Tesla, the TIE Tesla, is wings are more T-shaped. Tesla shaped, like the, yeah. Sorry, that's what I call the TIE Tesla. It looks.
Isn't it kind of like I thought it had that square notch at the back?
But no, you know it does. It's more like a shield, right? Like a point, but it's a very dull point. But yeah, it looks really cool. I'm excited the first time I saw it because I love the Interceptor as a ship, and I was really sad that the Empire didn't like expand upon that. I mean, I know they did in like the EU and stuff, but I'm glad that we're getting another Interceptor-like ship in the game. I'm just not too happy about having like 60 of them. So, okay, right. Moving on.
Well, yeah, and I mean, the last really thing to talk about on the night is the card packs. And everyone is kind of jumping up and down and yelling at each other over what's going to be in it. I think just seeing the box art kind of tells you exactly what's going to be in this thing. There's going to be guys for five factions. Rebels... I'm seeing Resistance, Rebels, Scum, Empire, and First Order, right?
The original five, yep.
Correct. Yeah. So, and that doesn't surprise me. The Separatists and the Republic are way too far behind in their development cycles to get any kind of card pack. There aren't enough material from that time, probably. I guess this is time to ask, is this going to be just a rehash of 2.0 with some updated abilities? Or do you think they went all the way back to the drawing board to come up with some new stuff?
I mean, well, they have been known to incorrectly put out information. I think that we're going to see new pilots for old ships, like K2SO. Oh, if K2SO isn't in this pack, I'm going to riot, man. He should have been in this game long ago.
We're gonna see old pilots for new ships as well. The Interceptor in the TIE Interceptor in 1.0 had something like 10 pilots.
Yeah, something like that.
And in 2.0, it's got 4.
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, we're gonna see new pilots in ships. We're gonna see old pilots come back to ships. I'm looking forward to it. I think that they, as much as I bitch about FFG, I think one thing that they're starting to do pretty well is make interesting abilities.
Right, and that was one of the biggest issues near the end of 1.0,
where they were just kind of recycling stuff with tiny little changes.
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at it; it's very glaring when you look at like Fen Rao and Talonbane Cobra, who came out like one or two waves apart, and their abilities are like almost the same, but like not quite. And in 2.0, they definitely like modified those, right? Like Talonbane gets his extra die, with whatever he shoots, which is very interesting. While Finn only has it on primary. But yeah, it was like, you're looking at him like, oh, I could fly this guy who has this ability, or I could fly this other guy for the same faction that has the way better ability, which is the same thing, but like 10 times more useful.
Yeah.
I want Tycho back.
Oh, I want him back too.
I want Wes back. Yeah, because Wes Jansen in this edition will be a fucking monster.
I would expect his ability to be lessened a little bit unless he's very expensive.
In Bullseye? I mean in Bullseye alone, maybe. I think really forces you, right? Maybe an I5 with Bullseye, because that would kind of, I don't know.
Well, I assume he's going to be a 5. If he comes back, because has anybody from PS8 been bumped up to a 6?
Poe, but Poe was an 8 and then was also a 9 at the end of first edition.
Poe was a 10 or an 11.
Yeah, it was true. Yeah, he always, I mean, they always had stapled VI, but.
Right, so, like, Luke is still a 5. Kylo was a 5, was an 8, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean,
it seems like kind of the direct transfer has been, if you were a 7 or an 8, you kind of flip-flop, but most of the time you ended up in the 5 range.
Yeah, so, I mean, Turfinner got kind of screwed by getting demoted to a 4.
Right, right.
And he really needs to be a 5, which...
The one thing I really don't want to see, and I know that we talk about, like, you know, we give this game a lot of crap, but I know that in one of the books that Vader... or comics flew a TIE Defender.
Please, yeah, God, no.
I really don't want to see him in a TIE Defender because it's, then you will only ever see him in a TIE Defender. Yep.
I'm telling everyone this every time they are either joking or just dumb enough to say it and believe it. Vader in a TIE Defender is the most abusive, unfun to play against hypothetical ship anyone has ever talked about in this game.
You don't have to give him the same pilot ability. Dallin Oberos doesn't have the same pilot ability in the two ships he's in.
This is true. Finn has different. Maybe does he still have the thing? Yeah, he's got two different abilities as well.
Finn's only. Oh yeah, I forgot he flies the. He has a Falcon.
Yeah, he's in the pod, and I think he's in the Falcon too.
I don't think there needs to be an I-6 Defender with white K turns in the first place.
Oh, right, with four shields, three hull, a sensor upgrade, like, every upgrade under the sun, like, right?
Do we ever need to give Vader full throttle? Ever?
Yeah. Yep. 100%.
No, that's an excellent point. That's a good point. Even with the force and just full throttle,
he's unkillable.
You're talking about a 100-point ship out of the
No,
more. Like if his ability is even close, or frankly, you could throw his ability out and give him something completely else. You could give him Vader crew or the Vader crew ability. You're still talking about essentially a 2-3 action ship that's also borderline impossible to kill. And now hate on it is actually kind of worth it because it's 7 hull, not 5.
Well, hold on. Yeah. I think we answered our own question with the ability of full throttle and 3-force. I don't think we'll see that across the table.
Right. I know we can't kill it, but I want it to die. I want to take this rumor or this delusion and whatever it is, put a knife in it, twist in every direction, and have it be removed from the community because it's so wrong. Like it's the worst kind of wish listing, and I don't want it to exist. I'm sorry.
You know that happened once to somebody, and it wasn't very pleasant. So,
what?
I'm just talking. I'm sorry. Yes, it shouldn't be good, but I just wanted to put that out there that I don't think it's going to happen. And if it does, they will have to downplay Vader and his abilities with the Force and stuff like that. And I think it's too much work to put into something like that. I don't think we're going to see it, and I'm happy about that. That was the one thing that I was a little nervous about. It was like, okay, cool, yeah. So,
like, put almost anybody else in a Defender. Get creative and put some people in a Defender.
Like Rebels?
Put Fel in a Defender. Go ahead. I'm fine with it. Just not Vader. Anyone else. And by the way, if you get Vader in a Defender, I want Wedge in an E-Wing. Play this game with me.
Oh, that'd be so nice.
I would pay. That's an 80-point ship that I would pay for.
Wait, do you guys think that we'll see Soon Tier Fel in an X-Wing?
No.
Just to bring this circle this back, what are your guys' wish lists for a ship? Like one ship that you would like to see in the game?
Ooh, it's a tough question for me. Give me a minute.
Mine's the Archangel from Dr. Aphra, the Dr. Aphra comic. I really like the Archangel, so.
So I'll be honest with you, and I know that Scum does need some love, and I think that it's really interesting. Maybe it's a spoiler for Resistance, but at some point they do encounter pirates that eventually wind up like kind of pseudo-helping them. And the main pirate flies a modified Lambda-class shuttle that is like outfitted to the teeth with like weapons and other, like it literally has like spikes on it. I was trying to find an image of it to like show you guys to talk about it when they reveal the fireball and the new interceptor. But I really think that.
So it's like a Reaver shuttle?
Huh?
So it's like a Reaver shuttle from Firefly?
Sure. But I just think that it would be really interesting if it was a support ship that could do some real damage, because Scum doesn't really have any kind of support ship. Maybe that's the one thing their faction is missing. They got a lot of aces, mini aces, that do their own thing, but no one that is really trying to like help out others. So I think giving them a little bit of coordinate love, could be helpful.
Jeff's gonna hate this, but I think the Naboo yacht would be kind of dope as a support for Republic, since they still don't have one, except for the bomber they still don't have one. Sorry. What else?
Oh, they got Battle Meditation, buddy.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. But I'm get out. Like,
Drew, that's your best joke tonight.
Oh my gosh. It's so true.
Off the top of my head. No, I leave ship ideas to other people, because if anything I put in the game is just going to break. I think the best thing that I would suggest is to start doing configurations. I would love to see alternative configurations for most things. Like, yeah. Imagine that. Yeah. Mission-defined ships in X-Wing. No!
So Jeff, I'm surprised that we forgot to talk about this. Do we get to tell Vince we told you so with this? What is it? Never tell me the odds, or don't tell me the odds.
The card pack.
The scenario. He's talking about the scenario and terrain packs
and new obstacles. Yeah, I'm so excited for that.
Yeah, I said that terrain.
I am very excited for it. I'm wondering, do you think, Drew, that we're talking, this could be something where you're like, okay, I'm bringing this, and this is going to change a little bit of the circumstances of the game?
Well, I mean,
I think it's casual and nothing else.
Look at the release of the gas clouds, right? Like, they've completely changed the meta. If any of the obstacles that are coming out in this pack are available to use in a tournament circuit, right?
They do not do purely casual stuff events.
Yeah, and that was the question too, was, well, hold on, they do, right? So the most of the packs for Armada that have come out have been campaign.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm
sorry, for X-Wing, they don't do purely casual.
Yes, I'm kind of hoping that I don't know how they're gonna do it, but I'm really interested to see that if there are scenarios, are they meant for competitive play? And if they are, I'm personally excited for it, because it'll be something else other than blowing the crap out of each other, right? Like,
that's the thing that I'm most excited about.
So you know what?
Me too.
I will be on board with this scenario thing. It will require two things to be truly competitive. Two things will have to happen. Number one, you'll have to announce the scenarios you're playing before events.
I mean, don't they do that with 40K?
Right, that's my point. You have to announce the scenarios you're using before any events. And number two, you have to allow people to bring multiple lists.
Oh, I like that. I like that, though. That's awesome, right? I mean,
I'm just saying that that's the only way you can make this, because essentially at this point you're talking about going kind of the War Machine route.
Yeah, right. This is true.
Or, I'm sorry,
this is
very not, true. War, Machine, I don't know not War Machine. What's the other one? It's the kind of weird...
Was it Malifaux or Infinity?
Because at that point you're kind of talking about schemes, you know? That's essentially what you're talking about.
So real quick, Jeff, and for listeners too, so Malifaux has this thing where you come to the table and you figure out what scenario you're playing, and then you build your list based off of what scenario you're playing.
Yeah.
So you don't come in blind and you're like, oh, I brought a Tie Swarm to a thing where I'm supposed to stay on this objective, right, for like 60 turns. Yeah. For instance, right? Ships that can just die real quick or something like that, right? So I like that idea. Multiple ships, multiple lists, and multiple, you know the scenarios you're walking into.
Yeah. You can randomize the order. We do that in 40K, but you have to tell people what they're coming into before they show up. Meaning that, and that's really good for if the events aren't run by a centralized group. It's a little different when it becomes less. You remove a lot of the flavor if you go to events all kind of run by the same body and they just keep running the same missions. Please don't let me say – don't let me be the Debbie Downer. This is my experience in exactly what we're talking about, saying this is the way to make this successful. That's all I'm trying to do here.
Cool. I'm excited.
I just hope that, the new obstacles aren't only give everybody a bonus.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I would like to see something like wacky, something like okay, here's a piece that's about the size of the largest asteroid, right? And it's singularity. At the end of the end phase, every ship does a barrel roll or boost vaguely in the direction of that obstacle.
Oh, like gravity. Oh,
like a grab well? That would be cool as shit. Yeah.
Yes, that's the kind of thing that I'm hoping that they're talking about. Now, that particular thing, you could work it out, but because X-Wing is very angular, you would need to make the call on, how do you determine whether a boost is closer or a barrel roll is closer or whatever, and can I boost backwards because of the singularities at my back? Things like that. But I think that something like that, a few pieces of terrain like that would be really interesting in just shaking up normal 206 games.
Right. And it would also create issues, right, with like swarm ships and stuff like that. But I do feel like if the rules were laid out, right, well enough and were easily, you put on the table and you know what you're doing and you can do it. I say why not? Oh, one last thing. I think the new Houndstooth paint job is really cool. It's very subtle, right? The older version is very dark, but I did like, I was looking at it, I was like, ooh, that makes me want to fly it. That's pretty.
I think the new Houndstooth paint job looks a weird word to say, but I think it looks more realistic.
I agree. I saw it too. When I saw it, I was like, whoa, that's, it looks more like a ship in Star Wars, which I'm quite excited about.
Yeah.
Dude, I must have missed this. What's it look like?
He brought the brown pants.
So instead of the khaki, he brought just straight brown.
No, it's the same. It's
the same paint. It's just sort of more muted and run down in Star Wars.
Yeah, it's more khaki. It's more khaki. At least the new one is.
Last thing, if you had to pick one pilot to come back from 1.0 who's not in it, who is it? Go.
Oh man, I threw away all my 1.0 cards, but I'm like, crap, man, I want to look that up. I think Tycho, Rogue Squadron was so sad to me to see them go, or most of them at least.
Jeff?
So I like to come back one pilot. Wow, that's a really, I want to see some of, I'm going to sort of wuss out here.
God damn it, Jeff.
I want to see a couple couple of the Imperial of the TIE Interceptor pilots, the mid PS ones, come back with abilities that are actually worth
playing. Right. So like
they had such mediocre, crappy abilities. But they could be good, you know, and I'd like to see that.
Yeah, one of them, Vince, was the angled barrel roll for the cost of a stress.
Correct.
And it was
cool. Yeah,
he
took a stress for it, which fuck.
Yep.
That's just
bad. It was bad.
No, it's not. It's an interceptor. It's got a ridiculous dial.
Well, hold on. It also didn't have an elite talent slot, which could have made it better.
Oh, PTL.
Yeah. For push the limit or for like crack shot. Like there was another, I don't remember specifically what it was, but there were ways to like modify dice or still get an action if you were stressed and things like that. Like there were just, it had a few options, but it didn't have the talent slot. So it had none of those options and no one ever flew it.
Mm-hmm. And there was the guy who could choose the 1-3-5 Koigrin. I mean, you know,
right. Deal. You flip you reveal a Koigrin turn, Vince, and you could choose to have it be the 1K turn, the 3K turn, or the 5.
Nice.
Which was pretty interesting. Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to just, you know, follow Jeff's good lead and cheat and say, I want Wes Jansen with a bubble reroll ability for Rebels.
Wes, didn't Wes.
A bubble reroll? What do you mean?
I want a Howlrunner / Sinker, but for Rebels, and I want it on Wes Jansen.
Oh, because Wes's old ability was like, ooh, you can't use a token, or you remove a token after you...
It was a super jam.
Yeah. Wes was the centerpiece of the only really successful list I ever built as an original. I'm interested, why Wes for that? Is there any theme you've got in mind? Because I mean, good shot, Jansen, but that was him shooting.
I mean, if we're going to try to tie lore to your special abilities, we're going to be here all day. I just think that's something the Rebels need. Why? Okay, why is Rexler's ability tied to what is special about Rexler's ability?
He's like Deadshot in the Star Wars universe, and that's why the crits go through, because he shoots the exact same spot every time he hits. I'm just kidding.
Okay. Look, it's a name that people know. And it's an ability that Rebels need.
Oh my god, did I say Deadshot? I meant Bullseye. Sorry,
you did say Deadshot.
Bullseye is way freaking cooler than Deadshot.
Same thing.
What?
Oh yeah. No, we can have this fight. We can have this fight. Oh yeah, do we want to talk about what was the end of the Gen Con stream with the Marvel stuff?
I'm not getting into this. We're not doing this. Drew and Jeff, sign off however you prefer.
That's all good. Have a good one, people.
Yeah, have a good week.
All right. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll talk to you all in a couple days.
Four rules.
Winning is not a sometime thing. It's an all-the-time thing. You don't win once in a while, and you don't do things right once in a while. You do them right all the time. Winning is a habit.